But I had a bit of a problem with the recordings. I hope we've sorted it out now. It should be better. This one I never got last week. They never just said they didn't, it just wasn't available. They didn't record it. I don't know what happened. Anyway, Jonathan's not coming. So let's start. Tov, where are we? I think we started Perek Beis on the question of whether we chayev to work this sugya called Shara Bechina Lisboin and Bebruim. Law, and we said we'll bring raya's from mitzad haseichel, mitzad ha-toyrish, miksav, and mitzad ha-bal peh. I think we said min haseichel we did last week, if I'm correct, that we said that the only advantage that we have over the animal world is the fact that we have seichel, and we have a seichel to misboinen and to understand. And therefore, if we're not using our seichel to understand, to investigate, to search, then we're not just like the animals. We're worse than animals because they've got a lot of koiches which we don't have, and that's our only real advantage we have over them. So that was mitzvah seichel. The seichel mechayves that a person will use his seichel to get in touch with reality, and reality is investigating and seeing the chokhmah of the Boire in the Bria. So that's the first thing that mechayves a person. Now I'm going to go on. He says, Mitzad HaTorah Shebikhtav, Mimah She'omer HaKosuv, Suma Rom Aneichem, lift up your eyes above, Uru'u Mi Bara Eile. It says a person, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, he says a person should lift up his eyes to the heavens, lift your eyes up, and ask yourself, who made all of these? How did they get there? The complexity, the unbelievable, it's beyond comprehension, the speed that things are traveling at and spinning and turning, and each one has its own character and its own nature and its own unbelievable beyond, and we're talking about millions and millions untold, almost infinite amount of universes and stars, and all floating around at unbelievable speeds. I mean, wacky speeds, and they're weighty, and yet it all works properly, and it all smooth, and it runs. You can track it, you can follow it. It's not random. You can plot these things, trajectories for hundreds of years. So you have to look up your eyes, and you have to say, "Mi bara elu? How did they get there?" But that's the Torah should be mechayving you there. Udovar HaMelech Oyma, Ki Erez Shomecha Maasetz Boisecha Yorech V'Kochavim Ashe Konanto. Udovar HaMelech says, when I see, Ki Erez Shomecha, when I see in your name the deeds of your fingers, the sun and the moon and the stars that you created, you put into their place, V'amar HaKosu V'alo Teidu Halo Tishmu Halo Hugod Hugad Miroish Lechem Halo Havinoisam Misoida Sa'aretz. Now the Pasuk of Mishnah that I don't understand. V'nema HaCherushim Shomu V'Ivrim Hibitu Lirois. The deaf people listen and the blind people look to perceive, whatever that means. So he says here, the Pischelev, he says it like this: Mishloishes apokim shelifnei posuk ze, and ulamdim b'mufurash is chivas ha'hisboidenus pebria. From the three psukim we brought above, you see the chiyuv to misboiden in the bria. Lirumi posuk ze ma'psukim shel arachov, the psukim that come afterwards, and ulamdim boifin klali sheyesh loy la'odem litalech k'she'enav pukuchos v'libo er. A person has to walk with his eyes open and with his mind awake. But a person walks around, he has to be awake. He has to notice what's going on around him. V'al yedei kach yovu la'avin mikol nivre es chochmas Hashem v'achdusoy. If you walk around with your eyes open, you walk around awake, you will come to understand and see the chochma of the Boiri and the Bria, and that it's all just one thing. As we mentioned last week, it's all, you can take the complexity and the diversity of the world, you track it down, everything arrives back in the same place. It's all one thing. That's what he's saying we learned from these psukim and all the psukim that are coming. Otpam, I'll reiterate that the psukim here, this is a rishon bringing psukim, each posuk here has a whole shir on its own, why it's here, the order. Just trying to bring a raya, you see that from the psukim, you have a chiyuv, to be misboyin in the bria, and you have a chiv to be noticing it all the time. You have to, when you're walking around, you have to have your eyes open. You have to be hearing the messages that the world's sending you. Tov leleches el beis ovel, meleches el beis mishte, v'ashehu sof kol adam v'chay yiten aliboy. A person is better to go to a beis ovel than to go to a beis mishte, because that's the end of everybody, and you'll pay attention to life. When a person sees her, especially if Pinkos used to say, well, what's so difficult about going to a young person's levaya than an older person's levaya? We know, come on, son, you go to a young person. Went to Menachal Oven, a father, somebody last week of a 36-year-old son of his was left. 36-year-old, that's horrific. So why is that harder? And Menachem Oven, somebody who's 90 was left. And you go, well, somebody who's 30, 35, come on, son, why is that harder? So the obvious answer, the one that springs to head straight away, is because this is a young guy. He hasn't lived out his life fully. He hasn't used his potential. An old man, that's what happened. That's the way of the world. Rav Pinkus said, that's also part of it. But what makes a levaya of a young person so difficult is because when you've got a levaya of someone who's 90 years old, so I'm a long way from 90, so this really doesn't have anything to do with me. Because old people die, but I'm an old person. So then, you know, as you get older, it does affect you more. But when you're 50, 60, you've got a 90-year-old levaya, so zilkoshua laikol kach. Suddenly, when you see 30-year-old dying, you go, one second, if it happened to me, it can happen to me. So it hits you harder. So that's what he's saying in the pasuk. Tov lelecha says, beis oval, it's better to go to a beis oval. Melecha says, beis mishte, kashe hu sof kol odem v'chai yitin alibwe. Because when you go to beis mishte, you have a nice time, and you did a mitzvah, and it's gewaldik, you're samach chosin v'kale gewaldik. But at the same time, you could have gone to a beis oval and you would have recognized that that's the end of everybody. No one gets out of this place alive. So that's where everybody's going, and you'll pay attention. Yitel aliboy, you'll take that to heart. You'll take it seriously and you'll start thinking about why you're here and what you're doing. Where that tells you that you have to be misboyin in the bria, is either chokhmah or the boy. I don't know. It's a bit obscure that, but okay. I promised I wasn't going to get too involved in the psukim because I know what I'm talking about. Then it says in Koheles, Hachochem Einav Bereishoi Vaksil B'chishech Ilech. A wise man walks with his eyes in his head. What does it mean? Everyone's eyes are in his head. No, it means his eyes and his brain are working together. He's processing what he sees. And a fool walks in darkness. He walks down the street. He doesn't see anything. He doesn't hear anything. Lo, 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 shaman. It doesn't mean anything to him. He's not awake. He's not alert to the messages that he's getting. The way the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what they're tripping up in. Okay, od pam lo baru, where there's a chiyuv there to misboyin in the brit, is the chokhmah the boira. Okay, but we have enough psukim that we do understand, at least on the surface. And you're all welcome to make a limud out of that paragraph with all the psukim. I mean, there must be unbelievable Torahs here. Fine. So that's the chiyuv mitorah shebiksav. To me, one example, when a person's alert, when he's awake, when he's in touch with reality, he gets a message so quickly, and someone who's not misses it completely. About the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was he lived in Radin, obviously, but he had to be in Aishishuk. Aishishuk was a town near Radin, and he needed to be in Aishishuk to take care of some things or whatever. He had some business to take care of there, whatever. Don't exactly know what it was. And he went with his gabbai to Aishishuk. We had a dilemma. There was in Aishishuk a rov, the rov of Aishishuk. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. But he was a moedika tzaddik, moedika masmid, unbelievable Talmud Chochem. I'm trying to remember the name now. I've forgotten his name. The rov of Aishishuk. The Chofetz Chaim had a dilemma. If I go visit him, which was the correct thing to do, you come to New Town, you go get a brocha from the rov, you go introduce you, whatever. He's going to spend time with me. He's going to take time out. He's going to have to give me something to drink. And it's going to be a big Torah for him. This is the biggest masmid in town. The Chofetz Chaim held he was a big masmid. So you can imagine what a masmid he was. But if I don't go, I'm pogaying the covet of the Rov. Not to go visit the Rov, he'll be very offended. How can I not go visit the Rov? He didn't know what to do. So Ender decided, made the following decision. He's going to send his gabbai to the Rov and say, Yisrael Meir is in town. And he's asking the Rov for a brocha. So the Rov will understand that he didn't come to be pogaying his covet. But at the same time, he doesn't want to waste his time. The gabbai can be in and out of there in 1 minute with the brocha, whereas if he goes there, it could waste 10, 15, 20 minutes. Or there'll come as money, he would have to give him the time. So the gabbai went, And he came back and he was shattered. He was ashen face and he was mamash broken. The Chofetz Chaim said, did you get a brocha from the Rav? He said, well, I asked him for a brocha. I did what you told me to say and I asked for a brocha. But what he gave didn't sound like a brocha. In fact, it sounded very much like the opposite of a brocha. So he said to the Gabbai, what did he say? He said, tell your Rebbe, tell the Chofetz Chaim that I want to see him walking barefoot with stones on his chest. And the Chofetz Chaim's face lit up with radiant joy, and he started dancing. He was so happy. The Gabbai was like, excuse me, what are you talking about? It's a terrible thing that he said. Chofetz Chaim said, you don't understand. I'm a Kohen. And when Mashiach comes, we're going to do a void in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohanim walk barefoot. And he's giving me a bracha that I should be the Kohen Gadol who wears the choshen on his chest with the stones of the breastplate on my chest. Well, that's the Maisa. What did the Gabbaya? Go to Klala. Barefoot with stones on your chest. Sounds like, you know, forced labor. And what did the Chofetz Chaim, yeah? Chofetz Chaim heard, give me a bracha, that should be the Kohen Gadol. Why did the Chofetz Chaim hear the one thing and the Gabbai heard the other? The Chofetz Chaim was so attuned to Mashiach coming. He was waiting and understanding and learning. He felt we had to learn all the dinim of Beis HaBechira, of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Kobonos, of Tara, because you want Mashiach to come, but you're not ready. How can you say you want Mashiach to come, but when he comes, you're not going to do? He started Koilalim to learn Kotshim. He was very involved in being ready for Mashiach. He was awake. His eyes were open. So when he got a brocha that you should walk barefoot with stones on your chest, he heard Beis HaMikdash. The Gabbai was a poshut yid, whatever. I don't know who the Chofetz Chaim's Gabbai was zeichet to be the, you know, the Gabbai. But he heard what he heard. His world is stones on your chest, not such a pleasant thing. You know, that's a heavy curse there. The person's awake. He hears different, you hear and see different things depending on where your head is. If your head is out there, whatever, you'll hear what's out there. If your head is in Torah, you'll hear what the messages are trying to tell you. So that's part of the chiyuv of Shara Bechina, is to just be alert, to be awake, to notice what's going on around you. Toif, so that's the chiyuv we have from Mitzad HaSeichel and from Mitzad Torah Shebiksav. Let's learn, there's a short shtickle on Torah Shebalpeh, and then we'll start learning how to do this. Up to now, we've been talking about that you have to do it, what it is, and the things that get in the way of doing it. And Mitzvah Hashem will start, Peregim will actually start telling us how to do it, because that's what we need to know. We know that we have to do it. So let's finish off here, Torah Shebalpeh. And then we'll start looking at how you're going to teach us how to do this properly. Anybody who knows how to make the cheshboinus of all the mazolos, the heavenly orbs, the maybe even the calendar he's talking about to understand how everything works in Shemayim, the einu mechashev. But he doesn't. He doesn't spend time cheshboining out those esoteric, those difficult scientific subjects. Alav akos avoyme, the Posuk in Yeshaya says, v'hayo kino v'nevel toif v'cholil v'yayin mishteyem v'es poil Hashem lo yabitu. Hashem demands from us to misboinen in his deeds and to understand him. Ulo oymer ala chochma hagnuza behem. And we have to reveal the enormous wisdom hidden in them. That's what he's telling us. He's not paying attention to the deeds of Hashem. He's not paying attention to the deeds of Hashem. Umaisi adov lo ru. He doesn't see the work of Hashem. He sees what he sees. He sees Mother Nature. He doesn't see the yad of Hashem. Where do you know that a person has a chiyuv to make cheshboinus of the mazalos, of the stars, of the heavenly orbs? Shenema, ushmatem vasisem kihi chochmoschem ubinoschem la'ena ha'omim asher yishmun es kol ha'chukim ha'ele. Eize chochma bina shehi la'ena ha'omim? Avame ze cheshbon tkufus ha'mazalos. The Pasuk says, and you shall guard and you shall keep all this chokhmah and this bina, this understanding in the eyes of the nations. Makesh the eyes of the nations, because you want Asher Yishmun es kol ha'chukim ha'ele. The goyim will, yeah, these chukim. Ask the Gemara, Ezi ha'chokhmah bina shilei ne'amim, what chokhmah is in the front of all the nations, the eyes of the nations? Hilchas tefillin? What's Makesh to them? Says the Gemara, ze cheshbon tkufus umazalos. When we make these cheshbonis and we understand what's going on up there before they sent up their Hubble telescopes or whatever, and we know what's going on. So that's la'enei Hashem, la'enei the Amim. We make a cheshbon, an understanding of the wisdom of Hashem, and they can see and they can understand it. Void Amru Chazal, have a machashev hefsed mitzvah keneged schoroi v'scha aveiru, keneged hefseda. The Mishnah in Avos. It's telling you have to make cheshbonos. You have to think about when you do a mitzvah, how much did you lose against the scha that you're getting? And if you do an aveira, how much did you gain against the hesped that you have from doing that? The person has to make cheshbonos. V'amru Chazal, in Eirim, im lo nitna Torah Yisrael, if you weren't given Torah, Klal Yisrael wasn't given Torah, as lamadnu tznias michatul, we would have learned snares from a cat. V'arayas miyoyna, we would have learned the issa of arayas from a dove, who's a faithful, or they stick to the same partner. But derech eretz mitanagol, the gezel minamola, you would have learned derech eretz from a tanagol, you would have learned gezel from a namela. That means if you look at the bria, you use boinen in the bria, you come to the whole Torah, like Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu wasn't given Torah. How did he arrive at kula Torah kula, knew what to keep and when to eat matzah and what to do? Because he was born in the Bria, and he came to understand the Bria. I mean, if you're not Tanua, you tell me, well, I never learned Torah. Why didn't you learn it from the cat? And you tell me, well, I don't know, there was a thing called Gzela. Why didn't you learn it from the ant? It's all available. The problem is you didn't open your eyes and learn. You didn't look at the Bria. And that's quite a big demand if you think about it. I would really have learned sneers from a cat. There's no sneers in the Torah. There was no Musa called sneers taught to us. So I would have landed up in this world with no tznias at all. And I would have learned tznias from a cat. Really? Oh, really? I would have gone up there and I would have studied the cat long enough to say, oh, Shem wants me to be tznua. Maybe I would have learned pritzes from some animal that's not so tznua. From a baboon, I don't know. It's always bothered me this. I would learn tznua. Because the cat does his business in private. He's very tznua in his ablutions. So I would have learned that from him as well, but there are plenty of animals that aren't. So I would have dafka learned sneers. Everyone's got an answer. This kasha has been bothering me for years. Gzaila from the ant. I would have learned that you shouldn't steal from the ant, but there are a lot of animals that do steal. I don't know if Shimi is there, but Shimi will tell you, in the jungles of Africa, you see a leopard catches an animal for his supper and he hides it in a tree and another animal comes and chops it and takes it away. So I would have learned gzaila. I would have learned ritzicha from the lions, because if they want to eat something, they just kill something and eat it. So exactly, I'm not exactly sure why I would have learned only this. Tov, good question. If you have an answer, please, I would like to develop that thought more. Anyway, it's a Gemara, and understood, we have to understand it. He's talking to us now. He says, I've now proved to you, I've brought to you proofs that you have a chiyuv, you have an obligation to meditate in the creatures of the world and to bring rayas from them about the chokhmah of the boira that is apparent in each and every different aspect of the bria. Now you, the reader, I'm the reader, but you're also the readers. Shomei ka'oina, da'alecha, you go now know, es Hashem mutl alecha, what's incumbent upon you. You now know what you have to do. You have to get busy cracking, to be misboinen in the bria, to see the chokhmah of the boira, to bring rise for the chokhmah of the boira in his bria. That's our obligation. Good. Now we know what we have to do. And then he goes straight into Peregimel with ulam. However, Alashayla Kate said, "Yes, she's born in Bebruin. How do you do this?" This Billy Achlasotet say, "How do I do this?" You get a whole bunch of National Geographic videos, and you sit there and you watch the wonders of the world. You sit back in your armchair with the remote control, and you watch National Geographic videos. Yeah, that's how you do it. Nana, I'll tell you. He says, "I'll answer you. I'm going to tell you what to do." You're going to start at the beginning, and we're going to go through all the way through the system. The first thing you have to do is you need to be'iyun. You have to think with an iyun brain, if you have an iyun brain. If you're not learning Gemara be'iyun, you probably don't have much of an iyun brain. You have to think with an iyun, with that part of your brain called iyun, which could develop by learning Torah be'iyun. But Abi Yaseida Sa'ilam, in the four foundations of the world is created with four foundations, Shem Eish Ruach Mayim Ofel, fire, wind, air, wind, water, and dust. Those are the four foundations of the world. Va'in b'toldoseim, and then you have to go and learn be'iyun, you have to ma'ayin in the toldoseim, in the things that come out of those things. Klayme b'bruim, and all the creatures of the world that are created with different permutations of these four yesodos. Shekulam murkovim me'arba hayesodos halalu. Every one of them is put together with these four yesodos. Everything's made up of these four yesodos. Va'iyun, third time you have to be ma'ayin, you have to use your iyun seichel. Betchunaisav shel kol chelek v'chelek shel kol nivra. Now you have to go look at the tchuna. Tchuna means the nature, the program, the understanding. Things like that. Tchunais. How do you put tchunais? Is a computer program is tchunais. The tchunais, the programs, whatever the of each and every aspect of this bria. For example, he brings in the pischelev lavochel ba'etz. Look at a tree. My son did this for his bar mitzvah. He wrote a little kuntros on the tree. Fascinating ideas he brought there. There's roots, there's a branch, there's a trunk, there's branches, there's leaves, there's fruit. And each one's got its own unique tchunos, its own unique nature, its own unique, to find the right translation for the word tchunos. If somebody's got Google there in front of them, you can maybe look it up quickly.
I like the word characteristics.
Characteristics, yeah, characteristics, good. For now, that'll be good. Each one has its unique characteristics. You look at an animal, he's made up of all these different limbs and orifices and organs, and each one has its unique characteristics. The lion's foot doesn't look like the buck's foot, and the polar bear doesn't look like the panda bear. Each one has its own unique. Each his parts, it's all very unique. But they're all made up of the four yesodos. Then you have to see what benefit can I get out of all these things that I'm busy meditating on. And what about the chokhmah that I can perceive just in his existence? And the power that's hidden in it. Look at its shape, the different shape these all these animals are created with and all these different creatures are created with. It tells us something about the thing. Then you can think about what was the purpose that he was created for. What was the cockroach created for? He has a purpose in the world. Okay, that might be a bit obscure. There's something to kill, I suppose. But you have to know what his purpose is. I'll tell you something fascinating. They discovered, because sharks, especially in South Africa, in Israel, it's not such a problem, but they hauled a massive white shark out of the Ashdod Marina the other day. Massive. It's a bit of an interesting one. But be that as in South Africa, sharks are a major problem, especially in the Indian Ocean. The Atlantic's too cold for sharks. But in the Indian Ocean, sharks are a major, major problem. The waters are shark infested. So they have all these different things they've been doing over the years to minimize the shark population, and they have shark nets and they kill the sharks and they whatever. They've started discovering that if you take the sharks out of the ecosystem there, the whole sea stops functioning properly. Because when there's no predators, then the other fish get too big and then their food, nobody eats them. So they overpopulate and they start choking the ecosystem. Because the whole ganzer, I'm not a marine biologist, but I met one when I was in South Africa too, as he explained to me that sharks are a major benefit to the ecosystem under the water there. You start killing them, you're destroying the whole underwater ecosystem. So I'm just saying, what's the purpose of a shark? Who needs great white sharks? They're running around mamash killing people. Get rid of them. No, you don't understand. There's a whole chain under there. And this one feeds off this one. He feeds off this and they feed off that. And you start messing with that. It's a catastrophe. Ve'ein beruchnias hamufueres shel olam hazeh. And then you can be ma'ayin in the spiritual, the awesome spiritual aspect of this world. Then you could start thinking about how all the creatures in this world are bound to each other. We're all connected somehow. Then you can start going really macrocosmic and see what's the purpose, the total purpose for which the world was created. You should come to the conclusion, hopefully, that the purpose that the world was created for was avoidus habayra, which is the way we get the ultimate purpose of the world, which is to give us pleasure in the next world. Then you can start looking at the opposites. The world's made up of enormous opposites. There's protons and neutrons. There's positive electric forces, negative electric forces. Everything's made up of opposites. That's the sugi of Zochav and Akeva, Lomaisa. That's male and female. All those opposites, the shirish of all of that is what's called Zochav and Akeva. But you could start looking into all of that if you wanted to. Shekulam k'shurim zeba zeba yitzrochim makir ma'ilam. All these things are necessary, and without them, the world couldn't be what it needs to be. Kagon aruchnes v'agashmes k'sheboy. The world is made up of two very fascinating opposites that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis. It's called Ruchnis and Gashmias. Hamadavrim v'hadoimimim. Sheboy hanoch v'aninoya sheboy. There's things that speak and there's things that are doimim. There's things that move and there's things that don't move. V'hakafu v'atzomayach sheboy. The things that are frozen in their shape and other things that grow and change all the time. And there's those things that have got a nature to go up. And then the things have got a nature to go down. Hashem created all these opposites with a perfect balance. And he set them up and ordered them correctly. And he set up all these different species and types and whatever according to exactly what the world needs. Somebody who wants to, in fact, it's a nice, Rabbi Chanan says that they don't see it. One of the miracles, Rabbi Chanan says, one of the greatest miracles is people don't see that this is all made by the Bore. The fact that you could think that you descended from a monkey is one of the biggest miracles in the world. How could you think such a thing when you see how perfectly designed it is? Now you can start getting in touch with the enormous wisdom and abilities of Hashem. When you look at a certain thing that was made, you can start understanding the characteristics of the person that built it. You look at a building, you can start understanding who the architect was, who the builder was. You see certain things, patterns in that building that tell you what the personality of the builder was. And a house, you can see the characteristics of the person that built it. So there's just one more line and then we'll finish. You need to know. The whole world is joined by Ruchnius and Gashmis and Ruchnius. Shen is mozgu ven is orvu ad kedekach, that is mozug, it's blended and joined. I know why he says niz mozgu ven is arvu. For a rishon, that seems to be a waste of words. They're mozug, which means blended, like yain mozug, you take water and wine, you mix it together. Ven is arvu. Niz arvu means they're mixed together. So I don't know what the double loshen there is, about tov. Each one of these things assists the other one's existence. Balechaim have a goof and a nefesh. Without the goof, the nefesh has no kim. Without the nefesh, the goof can't function. So these opposites actually enable each other to survive. For an animal, you see what a dead dog looks like. He's the cutest, fluffiest little thing. And you'll play with him, and when he dies, he looks terrible. You drive past him, you want to vomit. You see a dead dog on the side of the road. It makes you feel sick. 2 minutes before, he was the most cuddly, playful little guy. What happened? That mizug, that irbuv between the ruchnis and the gashmis got separated. And that's what you left. Yeah, there's a lot to think about in this this sugya. Anyway, he said a ton. What we went through here in the beginning of Perek Gimel, all these different things, each one of those is a whole avoid on its own. But that's the way he did it. Mitzvah, should we look at it again? We'll chazer it again. Business to go through the world, you have to find your own shara b'chidus, things that fascinate you, things that, you know, just like get your attention. But you have to be alert, you have to be awake. You have to walk through this world, as he says, with your eyes open and your brain awake, which is not so simple sometimes. Keeping my eyes open is not so hard. It's keeping them closed and not looking where I shouldn't look. That's the problem. But walking around with your brain awake, that takes a little bit of doing. That's not so posh. So it's Rat Hashem. We'll keep learning. Okay.
Shkoyach, Rabbi.
Be good.